welcome back to another episode of Talkin' Moto. Today we are going to be taking a look at a little preview here of the SMX playoffs. And I'm very excited to see how the playoffs shake out. Both 250s and 450s, we have a bunch of guys coming back. Looking to maybe kind of make up with how the motocross season went with a lot of guys, especially the guys coming back, but a couple of guys who just might have struggled a little bit too much. So I think we're going to start here in the 250s. Looking right away, obviously you got to look at Hayden Deegan. He was your 250 motocross champion. He was your 2023 Super Motocross champion, his first championship of his career. And now, of course, he did just grab that second one just a couple weeks ago. So he is sitting on top right now in the combined standings. So he's going in with 25 points as the number one seed. I think looking with him, really interesting is obviously he's had better motocross success than supercross. You can even look back at his rookie year. He did better in motocross than supercross. Of course, usually as a kid growing up, you're not around supercross as much. You're racing more motocross, the whole road to Loretta's deal and whatnot. You're usually doing more motocross, so it's not surprising to see someone so young like him maybe struggling a little bit still in supercross, even though, yes, he was in contention going down to the wire. He had a very long shot going into Salt Lake City, the last round of supercross, but had his fair share of mistakes in motocross, but I think it's pretty safe to say he had more mistakes in supercross this past year with, starting out in Detroit and then hitting the deck a couple more times. He had another one on a start straight. And he got wrapped up with Seth Hammaker at that point, I do believe. So it's going to be really interesting to see if he can defend his title. I will get to a couple of guys in both classes on who I'm probably about my top five. And then obviously we got to pick a winner that is not going to win because I've gone 0 for I don't know how many, 0 for all of them talking into a microphone here. Except when Chase Sexton had one round to go and I picked him to win the championship. But I did also pick him to win the Supercross championship, and we all saw how that went. Anyway, we're going to stick to Super Motocross here. We're going to forget about my past of terrible picking of champions, if that's how you want to say it. So also 250s, you got to take a look at Tom Vial. Obviously, he was your 250 East Supercross champion. Struggled big time in motocross. Had lots of chances to win. Led lots of times. And only won a combined 4 times this year, I do believe. Possibly 3 times. I know he only had the one in pro motocross, which was Ironman, the last round. So 1, 2, yep, only 2 wins, or 3 wins in all of 2024 so far. But like I said, 2 of those wins did come in Supercross where he was the champion. So obviously there's some Supercross aspects in the Super Motocross tracks. Obviously there's some Pro Motocross fast sections that are also in on these tracks. Can you look at track maps here? Just trying to get a little set up for a little bit later. Okay. Anyway, also looking in the 250 side of things, Tom Vial was your number three seed. So we did kind of skip over the number two seed. Very shortly was Levi Kitchen, who was second in 250 Super West Supercross, excuse me, and was in second for a long time in the Pro Motocross Championship until the last round when Tom Vial's win put him over the edge. So Levi Kitchen is going in down 3 points to Hayden Deegan. Obviously, we saw them battle really closely for the first two, three rounds of Pro Motocross. Let's take a look here. Yeah, they both went 1-2, or no, excuse me. Levi Kitchen went 2-3 to start off the season. And then Thunder Valley hit a little bit of a low point. And then in the end, Levi Kitchen won 3 out of the last 4, 5 races, excuse me, in Pro Motocross. So it's obvious that he has the speed for the most part. His big problem is always, can Levi Kitchen get the start? And with these tracks, obviously Charlotte, it's going to be a split start just like last year. It's going to be the same exact track as last year with a couple little tweaks. They are doing it, running the track backwards. So it's pretty much going to be the same track, just going in opposite direction as last year. So the split start should really help him out pretty big with being able to kind of cut half the field out of his view, really, because until they come around turn one on each side, that's when obviously they will link up there. So it's going to be really interesting to see if Levi Kitchen can get the starts that he needs. And if he can't get the starts that he needs, I think he has a really good chance at being a contender for this 250 Super Motocross, I think it's World Championship or Championship, whatever. So, any kind of long shots here in the 250 class, just looking points-wise, you gotta think RJ Hampshire has a little bit of a shot coming back from his broken wrist and getting, was it third overall in Ironman after a 9 in Bud's Creek. So he came back, Bud's Creek, same time as Eli. Then they both got third places. So at Ironman. So if we saw, we all heard RJ Hampshire's comments on the podium after Ironman saying he wished he got to be in the danger zone a little bit more all summer long. So it's going to be interesting to see if Deegan goes out there, beats RJ in the first race, if he throws a little shade at RJ, or if RJ goes out there and beats him, because there's one person who's not scared to go absolutely full send, sometimes completely to his detriment. That would be RJ Hampshire. That's just classic RJ Hampshire, just full send, not really a care in the world whatsoever, but that's just some of the things he does. He goes out there, he says, screw it, I'm going to go as hard as I can for Pro Motocross 30 plus 2, Supercross is what, 20 plus 2, well, that's 450s, 250s are what, 15, 18, I do believe, something around there. But these motos are both, I thought they were 20 plus 2, but I heard some people today saying they were 20 plus 1s. So it's going to be real interesting to see how long RJ Hampshire can go out there and send it. Because like I said, he's not scared to send it whatsoever. So coming back in the 250 class, Cameron McAdoo will be back. I've heard Nate Thrasher will also be racing. Both will have to go to the... No, just Cameron McAdoo will have to go to Last Chance Qualifier. I forgot the name of it for a second. Just Cameron McAdoo will have to go to the Last Chance Qualifier. Nate Thrasher did get in the very last spot, the 20th spot. So Cameron McAdoo is going to have to go in and got to get top two to advance to the night show. I do believe Seth Hammaker will be back as well. So going to be very interesting to see how it all plays out. And for some reason, there is no there's no entry list here for the first round. Usually that's up weeks in advance. Yeah, very interesting. But anyway, back to the 250s. Honestly, I figured this would kind of be a little bit more of a shorter one, maybe about 30 minutes or so. And here we are just over 12 minutes in. And I honestly think maybe we can start making some picks here. So also, I got to get to the old tweeter machine or X. Where are we? Here we are. Like I mentioned last week, old TC Sports Legends on X sent me another question. He wants to know, narrow it down to 5 riders on who I will think will win the SMX Championship and who we will pick. Not sure if he meant for both classes or just one, but we're going to do both classes. Obviously, Hayden Deegan's going to have to be in there. This is just going to look kind of like some chalk. Actually, no. We'll switch it up with one pick. The one person I'm not going to throw in here is that's in the top 5 in points is Joe Shimoda coming back from a broken collarbone at... Yikes. I should probably know that. Unadilla? I do believe, yeah. Unadilla on August 10th. Joe Shimoda broke his collarbone. So he is looking to come back September 6th. Yeah, he's looking to come back technically September 7th, I do believe, is when the actual qualifying starts. So that's going to be a very quick turnaround for a broken collarbone. Everything I saw was the little research on broken collarbones that I've done. Obviously not a doctor, but this is a really fast return. Obviously, these guys are super strong, super fit. So if anybody would be able to return from a broken collarbone in just under a month, it would definitely be a dirt bike racer. So I'm really interested to see how Joe Shimoda does. Yes, he's always good at the end of the season, but now he's had a little bit of time off. Not by choice, obviously, So I don't think he's going to be the typical end of the season Joe show that we are used to seeing. So now getting into the top five that I think have a chance to win it, and then who I think will win it. You got to start with Hayden Deegan, the defending champion, starting 3 points, at least 3 points above everybody else. So cards are kind of in his favor. Now also obviously starting with the number one seed doesn't mean everything, because last year the two number one seeds, neither one won the championship. So crazy things can happen with this escalating point system, single points in Charlotte, double points in Texas, and triple points in Vegas. So then my second guy has got to be number two in points, Levi Kitchen. Obviously, he's going to need the starts. Everyone's going to need the starts, but I think Levi Kitchen's going to need the starts more than just about anybody else, except for maybe my number third pick, which would also be typically one of the better starters out of the crew, seems to have found it a little bit more, and that is Red Bull KTM's 250 East Supercross champion, Tom Vial. I think he will be a little bit better on more of the man-made tracks. We saw him win in Daytona on a man-made track. No whoops. That's obviously a big struggle point for the Europeans who come over here. So I think Tom Vial has a really good chance at winning, starting 5 points behind Hayden Deegan. And then number four would be number five in points, Chance Hymus, the 250 Motocross Nations rider for the United States. What would worry me a little bit would be the pretty much torn ACL in his knee. So obviously that could play a big factor. If he tweaks it a little bit, maybe in round one, maybe he sits out rounds two and three to make sure he's good to go for the Nations. Obviously, there's a lot of money on the line here, so I'm not sure what he would do. I know Steve Mathis on the Racer X preview show brought up the question of, do you think Chance Hymus takes it easy going into or knowing he has the Motocross of Nations on the line in front of him? I don't really think he takes it easy. Jason Wygant, Jason Thomas, both also thought he would not take it easy. So therefore, he's my number four in this top five. And then just spoke about him a little bit earlier. My number five, kind of a long shot, is RJ Hampshire. Yes, he is starting in 13th with 9 points, 16 behind Deegan in the lead, but this dude is not afraid, like I was mentioning, to just go full send. RJ Hampshire last year finished third in the SMX, so he's pretty good. He kind of knows what he's doing here. Obviously a veteran, been around longest out of the top five that I just named. There's a good chance you combine the first four in years. RJ Hampshire, I think, is still ahead of them. But now taking my championship pick, I think we will see the first repeat winner champion of 2024. So that is either a Supercross champion in RJ Hampshire or Tom Vial, or a Motocross champion in Hayden Deegan. I believe it will be the motocross champion in Hayden Deegan. I think Deegan's going to go out. He's starting with the advantage. I know before motocross, I said, I think he'll have the red plate at times. I think he'll crash it away, blah, blah, blah. He tried pretty hard to crash it away, but he was unsuccessful in crashing it away, and he did end up winning it. I think Chance Hymus is going to cook, though. I think he's going to do pretty good. But yeah, I think it's going to go probably Deegan, VL, Hymus, Kitchen, not going to get his starts. And then RJ Hampshire just starting too far back. I think that's going to be the detriment to him, that unfortunate broken wrist right before round one of the motocross. I think that's going to kill his SMX championship hopes. So now jumping to the premier class now, we have your newly crowned pro motocross champion, Chase Sexton, once again with the points lead going into the SMX playoffs. Obviously, a little bit more momentum this time. Last year going in, he won the Supercross Championship, went out, pro motocross. You got to say a solid 2-2 after race one, concussion, out for a while, comes back at Red Bud, and then just continues to eat rocks from Jet Lawrence as Jet goes on his undefeated streak. Chase lost all the momentum he had from Supercross after motocross. This year, a little bit different of a scenario. He got his teeth kicked in Supercross. It's pretty obvious of that. He even said that it was really bad. He did say there's times where he thought about not racing Supercross, obviously. It was just a very, very far-fetched idea because, of course, he was going to go out. He said it was a stupid, just thoughts coming in with the struggles they were having preseason. But he did say there was a thought, just a quick thought, but it was a thought. So obviously now Chase Sexton has all the momentum coming off of his first 450 pro motocross championship, his second 450 championship of his career. Second in 2 years as well. Will he make it number three? Do I think he'll make it number three? We'll get to that later. So now, number two, it's a Lawrence. It is not the Lawrence that you were expecting. I think coming into definitely pro motocross. And yeah, definitely all year until Red Bud, or after Southwick, was when the jet injury happened. It is Hunter Lawrence, obviously 3 points behind Chase Sexton. And then there's a little bit of a surprise there in third. It's Jason Anderson. I say a surprise, it's because there's been quite a few times I forget that Aaron Plessinger missed a couple of rounds during Supercross. I think an ankle might have been the issue. I can't remember 100% what it was, but yeah, it's Jason Anderson coming in with the number three seed who, let's take a little peek at his... He ended the championship in fifth. Best finish was a third at Washougal. So yeah, he was very consistent for the most part from Red Bud through Iron Man in that 4-5 with a 3 mixed in and then 1-6 there at Iron Man. Southwick looked to be a bit of a doozy for him, finishing 12th overall. But yeah, a little bit of a surprise when I clicked on this and saw Jason Anderson, and then I did remember Plessinger missing a couple of Supercross rounds. But that doesn't hold Plessinger down too terribly far, as he's coming into the playoffs in fourth, the number four seed. So down 7. Really strong pro motocross championship from Plessinger, finishing third right behind Hunter Lawrence. So yeah, he really, after the opener at Fox Raceway, he was a consistent face on the podium besides a couple fours and a couple sixes. But yeah, his last Supercross race was in St. Louis in March. So yeah, he missed about a month of Supercross. So that would be the reason he is in fourth position going into the Super Motocross Championship. And last year finishing 5th in the championship, this year in everything he's been a lot better. Plessinger, he got his first Supercross win, had the red plate for a bit in Supercross, became a really consistent podium guy in pro motocross, finishing on the season podium, 3rd in the championship. So he's been building and building and building all year long, and I see no reason that he doesn't become a consistent podium guy for these 3 Super Motocross rounds. So a little hint, hint, he's going to be in that top 5. Taking a look at number 6, Jetson Lawrence. I tried to find the points going into last year's playoffs. Couldn't find them, but I heard that he is somehow seeded lower this year than he was going into last year, even though last year he only had 500 points in the 450 class, obviously being all of the his undefeated pro motocross season last year, his rookie year. So I find it real interesting that he's somehow seeded lower than last year going into it. But Jet Lawrence coming off a thumb injury, very similar to Cooper Webb and Eli Tomac. I also heard that Jet Lawrence is getting back onto a full racetrack competition, full-on race. I think it was about 66 days, maybe. And Cooper Webb and Eli Tomac were like 87 days and 95 days or something like that. So Jet Lawrence, with a very similar injury to his thumb as those two, is coming back about almost a full month before the other two came back. Almost a full, little over, I can't remember the exact days, but it's around 30 days earlier than both Cooper Webb and Eli Tomac. And we saw how much they struggled in their first race back. Cooper Webb obviously re-aggravating it in Bud's Creek, and then being out. And then there was, or no, Unadilla, excuse me. Right? Yeah. And then, where the heck is he? Eli Tomac. Oh, it's because he came back at Bud's Creek. That's right. Ha! Eli Tomac, Bud's Creek, went 4-11, obviously fell off big in the second moto. So it's going to be interesting to see how Jet Lawrence's thumb will be able to hold up for the full 20 minutes plus one motos that is going to be going on. And especially how he's going to do in the second moto after having all qualifying and whatnot that morning of. So there's always a chance with Jet. Obviously, he didn't go in with the number one seed last year. Came in with all the momentum, though, and then carried that into a win. Even though he struggled in Moto, or excuse me, race number one, where he went 7-2 in Charlotte last year. So it's going to be interesting to see if the thumb. I wouldn't be surprised if we maybe see it go the other way, 2-7 this year. I would expect him to have a good first race and then maybe struggle a little bit more in the second race. But hey, that's just me. And then I mentioned them earlier. Coming back is, we got a whole list of characters coming back. We got Justin Barcia, Cooper Webb, Eli Tomac, all 9, 10, and 11 in the seeding. Ken Roczen, 13 in the seeding. Obviously, not really coming back, but these guys are, well, I mean, I guess you can still kind of call it coming back for Barcia and Webb. Cooper Webb only won pro motocross race. Barcia's been out for a little bit now. Who else? Phil Nicoletti in his final season, coming in its 16th ranked spot. And then Kyle Chisholm wrapping up the final automatic qualifier to the races. And then Dean Wilson, first man sitting on the outside of the bubble. He's got Justin Hill. I heard he's going to be racing Adam Cianciarulo in the 24 spot. He will not be there, obviously. He is now retired. Good old Vince Freese sitting in 29. Haven't heard much of him. I'm sure he's doing the World Supercross, so I don't know if he's going to be doing the Super Motocross or not. Is he? There he is. Yeah, last time Vince Freese raced here was Salt Lake City. So I got a feeling we're not going to see old Vince Freese out there causing a ruckus on the in the first corner. So now we got to circle back around here to the top five. Chase Sexton, obviously, like I mentioned, has all the momentum, going to be racing the most stacked field he's had since Denver Supercross, which was when Eli got hurt, and then obviously Eli was out for a while, and then we lost Ken Roczen, broken leg, Cooper Webb, thumb surgery, Jet Lawrence thumb, Justin Barcia shoulder, I do believe. Who else? Phil Nicoletti, 250 class. So yeah, Chase Sexton, he's got to be up there among one of the favorites. Like I mentioned, momentum, but also like I mentioned, deepest class he's going to race in a while. Obviously, this is also for everybody. Deepest class, all of them have raced in a while. Then you got to look, Hunter Lawrence, obviously. New bike, been really good on it. It's going to be his first SMX here on the 450. So it's going to be, he was in line to win it on the 250 last year. And then a little bit of a sore back. Decided to sit out the LA round. I do believe it was because of Motocross of Nations was the big reason he picked. So chance Hymus, maybe a little peek on how to do it. Number three, got to go throw in Aaron Plessinger. I think he might have more momentum coming into the Super Motocross than Hunter Lawrence. Yes, Hunter Lawrence did finish above him in the points for the Pro Motocross Championship, but I think Aaron has just been feeling very good on the bike, and obviously it's proving in his riding and all the second overalls he's been getting and all the third overalls he's also been getting. So that was three. I mean, you got to throw in, this isn't in any order. Actually, we'll put it in order. Eli Tomac, I do believe, is my number four favorite for this Super Motocross Championship. Strong ending to the Pro Motocross Championship for him with a third overall in Ironman. Just the week off gave him one more week to heal the thumb, get some more testing in. I'm sure he was looking forward to getting more testing in. I'm sure he needed it. But yeah, he is my number four. And then it's shocking. I might have to eat my words here. But my number five is Jet Lawrence. I think that thumb is going to be a bigger problem than he's letting on. And that maybe he will let on for all three races. I just think he's coming back very quick. Obviously, there's a lot of money on the line. Obviously, he's very fast. I just think it might be a little soon. I mean, if you look at Hangtown. He, Moto 1, had that big crash, lap 1, and then came out Moto 2 and was in the lead for a bit and then just kind of lost it. That was when Sexton went 40th to first. Where did Jet finish in that? Moto 2, Jet finished 6th. So yeah, he was battling in the front, faded back to 6th. I think we might be seeing a lot of that, especially in round 1, race 2. Or even race 1. I wouldn't be surprised if we see a 5-5 from Jet. Number 1. Or round number 1. Excuse me. So yeah, I think I just kind of gave away my pick because I said I was going to do this in order. Which I didn't end up doing because I think if I did that in order, it would go the two KTM boys up front. Sexton, I do believe, we'll carry this momentum into the second championship of the year for him, third of the career, and then Aaron Plessinger, Hunter Lawrence, Eli Tomac. I just had to count in my head real quick on how many that was. Eli Tomac, then Jet Lawrence. So, I got Chase Sexton. I got Hayden Deegan winning the Super Motocross Championship for 250 and 450 class. I mean, just real quick, I think Sexton comes out. He won Charlotte last year. I think he might come out and just say, hey, that was kind of fun. Might do it again this year. So, 250. I'm going to say VL throws a wrench in the plan early. I think we got a KTM sweep, just like we had at the end of motocross at Ironman. I think we got another one of those at round one in Charlotte of the Super Motocross playoffs. KTM boys up top. So for round one, I do believe Hayden Deegan will win the 250 championship. But yeah, I think that will wrap us up. A little quicker one here, just over 40 minutes now. So yeah, talking_moto on X. Questions, comments, all that will always be welcomed. So talking_moto on X. And I'm excited to watch some good racing. Won't be able to watch it live. Got a birthday party. I'll be watching it Saturday night, though, that's for sure. See you next week. See ya.